gonna take a trip right now. Like we always do about this time.
This is a journey into sound.
I'm Kyle Long, and you're listening to Cultural Manifesto. On this week's show, we'll listen back to some of my favorite interviews of 2023, featuring local, national, and international artists, including the Indian classical music icon Zakir Hussain, Kronos Quartet founder and violinist David Harrington, and much more. We'll begin with the prolific Indianapolis rapper Skip. Skip's 2023 album, Sorry for My Trauma, explores the trauma he experienced growing up on the east side of Indianapolis and his attempts to cope with these experiences. Let's listen to an excerpt from our conversation. The album explores the trauma you experienced growing up on the east side of Indianapolis, and it also addresses some of the ways you've tried to cope with that trauma. Tell me what inspired you to make this album.
I think I just reached the age and the point in my life where some things had to be addressed. Like, you know, you go through stuff and you feel certain ways, and for a while you never wonder why you feel that way. You just go through it. But I think I reached a point in my life, and I've been around experienced people and, you know, people who are in tune with themselves, and it just made me want to explore why I felt certain ways. And it made me dig deep into my past and into my upbringing. Once I started realizing some things and things started making sense, and my therapist, shout out to my therapist, he started bringing things to light, you know, that's when it really started hitting me. And I unintentionally started writing about trauma. I didn't really mean to, but that's just where I was. And it just came out that way, man. And the more I wrote about it, the more I started learning about myself.
Did you have any reservations about taking your art in this direction?
Yeah, it's a lot different. Honestly, it was two things that inspired the change. My buddy, his name is Quick, one of my best friends, he always pushed me to do more melodic music, always. You know, I'm heavy on the bars, but I'm from the streets, and the streets, you know, they like what they like. And my buddy just loves street music. He loves it. And he's like, man, I want you to do this, man. I know you can do it, you know. So I went ahead and did it. And honestly, this isn't exactly what he was asking for, but it's a little more along the lines. It's still like real emotional and soulful, but the melodics, you know, it's not something I usually do. You don't usually hear me trying to sing and hit notes and stuff.
You're singing a lot on this record. Yeah, tell us about that.
Man, it's just influenced by him. And the other thing is I work in a school, and kids are not into hip hop. You know what I mean? They're more into like music that's more melodic. And when it's more melodic, it's more kid friendly. It's more repetitive, catchy. That also inspired me. I wanted my students to be able to enjoy my music. You know, King of Indiana was a great album, but it wasn't something that the youth will listen to. It's something for the old heads, for lack of better terms.
And Skip, I have so many songs from the record I want to play, so I want to jump into another piece of music. The next song we're going to listen to is Liquor and Depression. This song deals with addiction, and it feels very personal.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like you're talking about things that you witnessed growing up. Tell me about this track, and is this as personal as it sounds?
Yeah, alcohol abuse is so prominent in my family, so prominent. I'm talking about from mom down to granny, down to uncle, auntie, everybody dealt with some kind of alcoholism. Some of them wasn't so deep as others, but some were like, my uncle died from alcohol like two, three years ago.
Sorry to hear that.
You know, I appreciate that. And, you know, mom went through her phases where it was really bad.
As I mentioned, this song is very personal. You're talking about things you saw growing up in your family. I'm curious how your family feels about you talking so publicly about these personal, very painful things. How does your mom and how do other members of your family react to some of the music you're making?
Yeah, well, my mom doesn't have a filter. I played this song for her. This song has been done since like January of last year. I played this song for her just to see how she would feel. And like, she just loves the truth. She loves the vulnerability. You know what I mean? And, you know, my dad, I've had talks with my dad where he felt like, you know, some of the things I said hurt his feelings. And honestly, my mom has said that too. But I've never said anything that was a lie. And I just want I want to have those uncomfortable conversations because people go through that, you know, and I want people to understand that you're not going through it alone. I love my mom dearly. I love my dad dearly. I love my brothers dearly. But the truth, you know, I feel like it sets people free. And if I can be that vessel, I just try to be that. But I try to do it in a not disrespectful way, you know, just in a more of a this was my experience type of way.
Well, this is a powerful track. We're going to listen to it now. This is Skip with Liquor and Depression.
Taking notes from adversity, I draw skill. I'm bigger than my family curses. Let's all heal. I've been in a funk. I've been getting drunk. I don't know what's next for me. Chasing my destiny. Mixing liquor with depression. We still mixing liquor with depression. Ain't learned my lesson.
That was Skip with Liquor and Depression off his 2023 album, Sorry for My Trauma. On this week's show, we're listening back to some of my favorite interviews of 2023. Up next, we'll hear from Amar K, a charismatic young Indianapolis rapper and R&B vocalist. I spoke with Amar K in January of 2023, and we discussed her family's deep legacy in Indiana music. Let's join our conversation. Did you grow up here in Indianapolis?
I did grow up here in Indianapolis. It's not my original home city. I'm actually from Terre Haute, Indiana, which is like an hour and a half from here. But I moved here when I was around eight. So most of my memory and growing up is here. So yes, Indianapolis is my hometown as well.
I know you have a background in gospel music, right?
Yes.
At what point did you start singing? At what point did you start making music?
Oh, my goodness. I've been making music since I was three. And the reason that is because my father, he's a reggae artist, and he owned his own studio in Terre Haute. And so when I was younger, he always had me in the studio with him, and I just was, like, captivated at that point. And I just knew music was something that was a part of me. And so I wrote my first song when I was three called Bug on the Rug, and I had all the song broke down by chorus, hook, and my dad was like, how? How is that possible? And my grandfather also, he had his own band called Just Us in Terre Haute, and he always had me on his guitar and on his microphone. So music was everywhere as far as access. And I was in my church choir. So music was everywhere in my life, especially growing up. And I just loved it. I couldn't run from it.
This kind of blew my mind, what you just said. Your father was a reggae musician in Terre Haute?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about your dad.
My dad is Jamaican. He's from Puerto Rico. Both of his parents are Jamaican, so he's this full-blown Jamaican. And he loves music. And he's more of a freestyle artist. But he, like I said, he is reggae. And he had his own studio working with other artists around in Terre Haute and different cities around in Terre Haute. And that was a big thing for him growing up. And that's something that he found a lot of passion in. And so he shared it with me because I was always dipping as far as my creativity and wanting to do new things. And like he had other kids, but they wasn't as much interested in the music as well as like far as sticking to it. And so that's something that he, you know, me and him could bond over.
And he released music?
Yes, he actually has a lot of music that's released. It's more on records because Elder style, you would get in the studio, you would put a tape in and you would record it, you know, on a physical tape.
What names did he release music under?
His name, he has a lot of different names
that
I know as far as like what people called him. Now, his artist reggae name, I'm not sure. I want to say it was Darkman. And if I'm wrong, sorry, Dad. But Darkman, Marcus, different things that he would go by different people that I would know would call him. But as far as his artist name, I do not have a for sure. I have to ask a good question, Kyle.
Okay.
I'll follow up with you.
And your grandfather.
Yes.
Just Us. Tell me about your grandfather.
Oh, goodness. My grandpa, Gary Wells, he's in Terre Haute. He grew up in Terre Haute. And he has a band with five members, some family members involved. And he's been playing in his band for as long as I can remember. And he still is. And he's picking it back up now that his band members, one of them had to go through a major surgery. So now they're getting back together. And they have more tours going on. And some, they have a performance here in Indianapolis coming up. I'm not sure the date or what the show is called, but he is traveling as well and getting back to that. And for the first time, actually, Kyle, he played with me, which was like a dream thing. He played lead guitar at my show in Terre Haute last year for the Juneteenth event, and it was amazing. And like, I just loved to feel that him on stage with me. That was different, because the only time we ever got to do that was when I was younger and just playing around behind the scenes. So
at what point did you start branching out to do your own thing? You talked about making this bug in a rug. What was it?
Yes, bug in a rug when
yeah,
I was
when
three.
You were three. When did you start branching out to do your own thing?
Well, actually 2 years ago, I put out my own song publicly here in Indianapolis, and I dropped it via music video, and it's called Bigger Stunts, which is actually one of my favorite fan favorites and one of my original favorite songs. It's more of an R&B vibe. I'm a versatile artist, but I'll say my favorite genre to stick in is R&B and hip-hop. And that one I released was a mix, because I sing on it and I have some verses that I rap on as well. And that was my first time actually pushing myself publicly and put myself out there. You know, I could have did it with, you know, just a cover, single cover, but I wanted to really captivate the audience. I really wanted to grab people into who I was and not just my voice. And so when I added the face to it and just the creative idea as far as my music video and the way it was put together, I was very proud of that. So I'd say 2 years now I've been pushing myself publicly here in Indianapolis.
This is Amar K with Heartless.
Heartless, you're heartless, and you're scarred in this shit, so you can't seem to let me in.
You can't seem to
you got yourself fenced in, and I can't even break the shift. I do not understand all this.
Do not understand all this.
Heartless, I'm heartless, and I'm scarred this shit. I'm usually the optimist.
Now you got me.
That was Amar K with Heartless. On this week's show, we're listening back to some of my favorite interviews of 2023. Up next, we'll hear an excerpt of my conversation with Andres Salguero and Cristina Sanabria of Uno, Dos, Tres, Andres, a unique bilingual duo that creates children's music in both English and Spanish. Last year, Uno, Dos, Tres, Andres joined the PBS Kids Network. We spoke in April of 2023 at the WFYI studios. First, I wanted to ask a question about the importance of presenting music bilingually. And not only is this a bilingual project, you're now incorporating American Sign Language into the performance. So it's, I guess, trilingual in a way, the performance aspect of it. Tell us about the importance of presenting bilingual music throughout the Midwest and United States.
Thank you. I grew up bilingually. I spoke Spanish at home with my family and English at school. And I think for us, it's about learning languages in general. So, you know, I learned French in school as well. Andres is studying Portuguese, and we are fascinated by ASL. It's such an important language, and children are fascinated by it as well. And so I think for us, it's a matter of celebrating what is, you know, close to our heart and close to the heart of many children. But we also love seeing children who come to our concerts and say, "Oh, I speak Korean at home," and maybe they teach us a few words. "Oh, I speak Punjabi," and we also hear children come up to us saying, "You know, my father is deaf, and we use ASL at home." And so it's beautiful to find a point of connection, whether it's that we come from the same country or simply we have and that experience of being multilingual, and children love it.
And we all know the stories of, let's say, Chicanos from, you know, a couple of generations ago, and not even a couple, like the previous generation, who they were not allowed to speak Spanish at school. You know, they were punished. So it is a beautiful thing to for us to be able to visit so many schools. Now there's a great push for dual language education in so many parts of the country, including Indiana. So there's an interest and a need there. So there's change, and it's so great that we don't hear some of those stories anymore.
And I want to ask about your Grammy-nominated album, Activate. You made a reference to this a minute ago, Andres. This album features some of the most extraordinary legends in music. Ruben Blades, who you mentioned, Gilberto Santa Rosa, who's a huge star. How did you get these legendary artists to sing on a children's music record?
Wow. Thank you so much. You know, it was a combination of making music that was at their level, right? You know, we had to, like, really hit it out of the park, like we say. And talking about that, also, we made music that connected with them at a personal level. For example, Gilberto Santa Rosa, he's, you know, one of the biggest salsa stars. He fills stadiums all over the world, really. And he was a baseball player, as you know, as a young cat in Puerto Rico. So we wrote a song especially for him, talking about baseball. So I think he just connected with the song and he wanted to be part of it. And also the fact that the whole project, Activate, has a mission. And through this album, we're still, you know, obviously collecting all of the royalties and we're sending them to Colombia and Venezuela to support children who are studying music. So it's beautiful. We have already 3 children that we are supporting, studying drums, cello, violin. We buy their instruments. We support them. We want to encourage them to dream big and have music be an important part of their lives.
Chispa gastando la chancleta y aún recuerdo que en esos días no había muro que nos saltara, no había cosa que no podía, solo quería llegar a casa.
I want to play next a song from your album Hola Amigo. On this album, you address some very serious themes. And I want to ask you about the song Hambone, which not only addresses the protests that happened in 2020, the Black Lives Matter movement, you also mention the names of some of the victims of police violence in the United States, Tamir Rice, George Floyd, etc. Tell me about addressing these complicated themes through your music and kind of what the thought process is, because it's something you have to be very careful about, right?
Absolutely. And we are here to support families in having conversations with their children, whether those conversations are about the ABCs and counting by even numbers, or whether it's conversations about what is going on in our world. And, you know, during that time period, we attended some protests to, you know, just show that we are in support of Black Lives Matter, and there were children a part of the protests as well. And so, you know, we know that some families may feel trepidation about how to have those conversations, and some families feel an immediate need to have them before, you know, something happens that they might encounter. Whether that is any topic, there's so many topics that come up, you know, school shootings, environmental concerns.
What were you holding in your hand?
What were you holding in your hand?
I was holding a big old sign.
I was holding a big old sign.
On your sign, what did it say?
On your sign, what did it say?
We want justice, we want change.
We want justice, we want change.
Black lives matter, yes they do.
Black lives matter, yes they do.
We have lots of work to do.
We have lots of work to do.
And my final question to you both is about the importance of public media, especially for children. You know, we live in a time where children are just so close to so much toxic material online and also on television now. Talk to me about the importance of the kind of programming that public media provides to young people and the kind of art that you're creating for young people in this contemporary culture.
Wow, what an important question. And one word that comes to mind is curation. And as we've partnered with organizations in public media, we see firsthand how much thought and care and intentionality and research and iteration goes into selecting, crafting, improving the content. And so as artists, you know, it feels good to partner with people who are so being so thoughtful about what goes out for children.
And I was recently reading an article about dreaming about a public supported internet, you know, in or networks, you know, community networks, and it's something that people are starting to develop, because you know the big profit that is the nothing is going to change, because there's people making just zillions of dollars, and that's why they want to trap you. They want to trap, and they want to trap users as young as possible, so they become just normalized in this world. So we're just very grateful for exactly public media, because you know it's run by the community. There's a board. There's it's publicly there's public oversight, and is not ran by the need to make profit. So you know the priorities are different, and they're thinking about the community and service.
Cultural Manifesto will return after this short break. I'm Kyle Long, and you're listening to Cultural Manifesto. On this week's show, we're listening back to some of my favorite interviews of 2023. Up next, we'll hear an excerpt from my conversation with the legendary Indian tabla player Zakir Hussain. He performed in central Indiana in November of last year. Over the course of his career, Zakir has collaborated with legendary musicians, including George Harrison and Ravi Shankar. During our conversation, I asked Zakir about his ill-fated collaboration with the late Tina Turner. As you know, the great vocalist and performer Tina Turner passed away earlier this year.
Yes.
A revered icon of American music and culture. I read an article from 2004 that said Tina Turner studied music with you in preparation for a Merchant Ivory film called The Goddess. I don't think the film was ever made, but is that true? Did Tina Turner study music with you?
Well, I wouldn't call it study. Who can teach a goddess like that and an incredible performer what to do with music? She was already so out there. I mean, if anything, I would be studying with her. Mm. But I mean, I was basically a coach, a producer, a composer of this project. For Merchant Ivory film, where she was going to play the goddess based on a book called Transposed Heads. But it never came to pass, because after finalizing all the songs and everything, and even recording some basic tracks and stuff, and me meeting her and arranging for a Indian vocal coach for her, the director, Ismail Merchant, passed away. And that kind of effectively halted the project, because there was no one else who was able to take it on and do it the way it needed to be done. So unfortunately for me, it did not come to fruition. Getting to know her was a very special, very special experience for both of us. A human being par excellence, you know, a lady of incredible gentleness and love and affection, and having gone through so much pain and suffering in her life, all she wanted to do was share love and affection with everybody else, and to have that come to you in limitless was just a fantastic time.
Did you say there were maybe some fragments of recordings you made with her? That exists.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dead.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which
I guess won't see the light of day, but it's just a personal treasure that I have and hold dear every now and then to listen to and just smile in her presence.
Oh,
the groundbreaking chamber music ensemble Kronos Quartet celebrated their 50th anniversary in 2023. I spoke with Kronos Quartet founder David Harrington in November. We discussed some of the highlights of the group's 50-year history, including their 2005 album, You've Stolen My Heart, a collaboration with the iconic Bollywood singer Asha Bhosle. David, the 50th anniversary of Kronos Quartet certainly invites fans and critics to look back on your history. And if you don't mind, I wanted to ask you about one of my favorite Kronos albums. You've worked with a lot of music luminaries, from Paul McCartney to David Bowie and all sorts of incredible contemporary composers. In 2005, you made an album with one of the most widely heard voices in the world, the Bollywood singer Asha Bhosle. The record was titled You've Stolen My Heart, and it featured the music of Asha's ex-husband, the Bollywood composer R.D. Burman, who's one of my musical heroes. So I have to ask you about this record. Were you a fan of R.D. Burman's work before making that album, and how did this project come together?
Well, I've been a fan of R.D. Burman's music since I first encountered it. And before I even knew who he was. And then what happened is that a close friend of mine died, and he left a number of CDs for his friends. And one of the ones that I got was this CD called Bollywood's Golden Era or something like that. And on that CD, there was this fantastic song called Aaj Ki Raat, or Tonight is the Night. Mm. And the minute I heard that, and this would have been, oh, I'm thinking at least 25 years ago, I realized, okay, we're playing Aaj Ki Raat without any question. And we started doing that with Zakir Hussain, and then I started exploring more of R.D. Burman's music. And then a close friend of mine in England, Ken Hunt, helped curate the songs. He had studied R.D. Burman's work, and he's the one that gave me Asha Bhosle's home phone number. And so we began to put together thoughts, and I called Asha Bhosle about this, and she was very enthusiastic. Mm-hmm. I had sent her the Aaj Ki Raat that we had recorded with Zakir Hussain, and turns out that Asha has a daughter who lives in San Rafael, California, and everything kind of came into focus quickly. And as you might notice from You've Stolen My Heart, the sonics of R.D. Burman's music took Kronos in entirely new directions. And we were doing things in the studio we've never done anywhere else before. And we had so much fun. It was like when you're a kid and you learn how to finger paint and you have all these amazing colors of paint that you get to work with your hands. And for me, it was like just getting in there and working with all kinds of sounds and just having the most fun one could possibly imagine. And hearing stories from Asha about R.D. Burman, he died way too young. And for me, he was as great of an orchestrator as anyone you can think of, whether it's Stravinsky or you name it. R.D. Burman is right at the top of orchestrators and creative musicians of the 20th century.
चुरा लिया है तुमने जो दिल को नजर नहीं चुराना सनम बदल के मेरी तुम जी
This is Asha Bhosle and the Kronos Quartet with Dum Maro Dum.
Dum Maro Dum.
That was Asha Bhosle and the Kronos Quartet with Dum Maro Dum. On this week's show, we're listening back to some of my favorite interviews of 2023. Up next, we'll hear an excerpt of my conversation with Dwani Piri, an Indianapolis-based Zambian-American rapper and event promoter. Dwani is part of a growing community of Indiana musicians creating Afrobeats, an influential style of West African popular music. Let's listen back to an excerpt of our conversation.
Man, honestly, like in the beginning, I really wasn't even doing a lot of, like we say in international world music right now. I started off more on like lyrical, like battle kind of rap, you know. I was a big fan of people like Cassidy, Lil Wayne, a lot of hip hop artists, and that was when I was here in America, you know, because before then, I know it sounds crazy, but as a kid, I was listening to like Michael Jackson, Bob Marley, Tupac. So it was already a mixture, you know, and I started mixing the whole international vibes when I would say around the times when I was working on the project Jamaican Girl. And then I started to it was 2012 when I went to an Afrobeat club for the first time, you know, and it surprisingly, that was my first time really like getting deep into Afrobeats. And I didn't know that world existed. And I just loved it, man. I loved the presence. I love just the feeling of it. And I started mixing the music. Now I'm like, yo, I love dancehall. I love reggae. So how can I just mix this together with hip hop? So you would hear a lot of my choruses would be international vibes in the beats, but I'll still rap on it. No, so
there was, she go. That was one of your first Afrobeat tracks,
yes,
right?
Yeah, yes. That was my first one. Yeah. It was inspired off of the whole. I don't know if you know this track, and I'm pretty sure you do. By it was Akon and P Square, Chop My Money.
Yeah, of course, I love that track. Yeah.
So that track has a little bit of that vibe. So that inspired me a lot, you know. And actually, a producer from Indianapolis did that track for me. His name is Playboy the Great. You know. You know, he's from the East Side. Shout out to East Side, Indianapolis, man, Far East Side. Like, he did that. And that just shows, like, you know, you can mix these things together. And him just being from Indianapolis, and he didn't really know a lot of about Afrobeats. But when we sat down and we talked about it, and we were able to create something like that. And shout out to Boy Rude. He was on a track. He's actually from Togo. So I had him on the hook with me. And then we just created that whole mix, man. And it worked. People loved it.
You said the first time you went to an Afrobeat club was in around 2012. Yeah. Was that here in Indianapolis?
Yeah, it was here in Indianapolis.
What was the club? I'm curious.
I'll tell you exactly the club. I remember it was FSA. It was on the west side.
Over on Rockville Road.
Yes.
That was the spot, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was the first one.
I wanted to ask about how your music has been received back in Zambia. You know, from what I've seen, it looks like you've gotten a good reception. The Lusaka Times wrote an article about you.
Yes.
Zed Beats, which is like the premier platform for Zambian music, has shared your music. Seems like you have some an audience back in Zambia.
Nah, most definitely, man. They show me so much love to the point that they and you're right, because they've been showing me love right before I knew so much about how the industry works and media and things as such. They were picking up on me, you know, because of my name and my last name. My last name is very big over there. So Piri is a very big last name. So when they seen that, they were very proud, right? So they'll always be like, "When are you coming? When are you coming?" And I'm like, I got so excited. I'm like, "Yo, I'm coming." I'm gonna be there this year and whatever, but I couldn't make it. You know, I was just a kid, and I still had other things that I needed. You know what I mean? So I feel like it kept picking up. You know, they wrote about me, put me on the radio a couple of times in the beginning, but now it's definitely like they rocking with me. They rocking with me. I'm on the radio. I know a lot of people, even a lot of Zambian celebrities, all the artists over there, they really rock with me. They show me a lot of love.
Yeah, Zambian music is starting to blow up. Yes, for a long time, yes. It was not regarded mm-hmm. very highly. It was outshined by Congo or South Africa or all the other surrounding countries. How does that feel, seeing artists like Sampa the Great become these huge international stars?
Yo, it's an amazing feeling. I'm so proud of Sampa, man. Like, when I caught on to her, like, I just seen her just blossom, and she keeps going, and she's representing. She actually has the soundtrack on Black Panther. You know what I mean? It's a song featuring Sheffy. You know what I mean? We actually have the same name because Dwani is actually short for Kundwani. You know, so when me and him talk, I'm like, what? Your name is Kundwani too? And like, it was just a great feeling and very proud to see them doing their thing, man. She's really pushing it. And it's a lot of great artists in Zambia, man. There's Yo Mobster, there's Drifter the Great. I've actually collaborated with Drifter, T-Lo. There's a lot of them, man. And y'all going to hear about them. Y'all going to hear about them.
This is Dwani Piri with Muelatina.
All of these rappers is threatened. I can do hot and they sweat. They used to run from a feature. I am a beast, I'm a creature. All of this money I'm spending, they think I'm moving the dope. I got a feeling you're sick and you're broke. The money too funny, you're giving them jokes. LSK, baby, I moved to the coast. I came to get it, I'm doing the most. I came with Twizy, I'm doing them both. All of this drip on my body, they flooded.
That was Dwani Piri with Muelatina. On this week's show, we've been listening back to some of my favorite interviews of 2023, and we'll end with music from La Marca Nueva. La Marca Nueva are an Indianapolis band that specializes in performing sierreño and corridos tumbados, two regional Mexican music styles popularized by artists including Peso Pluma and Natanael Cano. The music is guitar-based, and La Marca Nueva features a pair of guitarists, along with a vocalist and double bassist. La Marca Nueva are a young band. Three of the group's four members are still in their teens. And though they've only been together for a little over a year, they've found an eager audience for their music in Indianapolis. The band plays often at clubs and parties around the city. La Marca Nueva recently stopped by WFYI to record a live session and interview. Let's listen.
Los que eran pobres ahora ya son millonarios. Los que andan presumiendo todo siempre estado. La envidia es muy culera, pero yo le sigo pa' adelante. Esos amigos que dicen que son amigos son los que no te quieren ver en tu destino. Prefieren verte muy abajo más que ellos, pa' que en la vida tú no tengas ningún peso. Gracias a Dios yo tengo todo lo que quiero y hay billete pa' tirar hasta en el suelo.
Thank you guys for being here today and performing. It was excellent. How about starting over here? Let's just go through. Introduce yourself. Tell us what instrument you play.
All right. My name is Ivan. I play the guitar.
My name is Jorge. I play the guitar too.
My name is Cesar, or Cesar, is how you say it in Spanish, and I play the double bass, or is how you say it in Spanish, the tololoche.
My name is Adam. I'm the first singer.
You guys haven't been together that long, have you? I heard you were around for about a year. Is that correct?
Yeah, a little less than a year, like maybe 9 months. Yeah.
Around there.
Yeah,
around
like 9 months.
Tell me how the group came together.
Well, first we had a grupo together, like us three, but then I got in contact with him. And we started, like, a new grupo.
Yeah. What was your first group?
It was Formato 317.
Yep.
Why don't we go around again and tell us how long you've been playing music individually?
I've been playing guitar probably 4 years. 4 years. Yep.
Yeah. Amazing. You sounded great today. Right?
I've been playing for, like, 7 years. I just stopped for a minute, and then I picked it back up.
Yeah.
I've been playing since COVID, since me and my brother, you know, that's my brother.
Okay. Yeah. That's amazing.
And he started a little earlier than me, but I started getting on, you know, because I was left-handed. I'm a left-handed, so there's not that much instruments for left-handed, so yeah.
And how long have you been singing?
Singing? Well, I've been singing since I was a little kid. Yeah. I got a lot of family that does music, so.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. Are you from musical families? Does anyone in your family play music? Who wants to go? Do you tell me about your experience?
I got a lot of family in Chicago.
Yeah.
So they have a lot of music bands over there, so.
Anybody else?
Nope.
Well, yeah. I found out that recently one of my grandpas used to play like the accordion. They used to be in a little band in Mexico, so yeah, I found that out not that long ago.
Yeah. But no one who's a professional musician in your immediate family?
Not really. They were just it for fun, you know.
Yeah.
That's it, yeah.
You guys, on the other hand, are getting a lot of work in the professional realm, right? I know you play all over Indianapolis. You've actually played, I think, in Virginia and Kentucky, you told me, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
There's a lot of demand for your music right now. Tell me a little bit about where you're playing and some of the types of gigs you're playing.
Well, in Virginia, we played on stage on the Copa Mariachi. It's like a tournament, a soccer tournament. They got in contact with us, and they hired us to play there.
Where are you playing here locally in Indianapolis? What kind of, are you playing at clubs? Are you playing at parties, quinceañeras? What kind of events do you guys play at?
It's mostly like house parties.
Yeah.
But we played in a couple clubs like Blue Moon and all those. Mm. Yeah.
How would you describe your music? A lot of the people who listen to our station don't follow like Mexican regional music. They might not know all the styles. How do you describe the style of music you play?
We'll describe it like sierreño, but like corridos.
Yeah.
He started at sierreño, and then he went to corridos tumbados and corridos bélicos and all that stuff.
I'm curious about the future of this group. Is this something you guys are doing? Like, you know the term garage band? Do you know that term?
Yeah,
just playing for fun in the garage. Mm-hmm. Is this something you guys are just doing for fun? Or is this something, I mean, you're already making money at this and getting a lot of gigs. Is this something you're looking to pursue as a profession? Are you hoping this band breaks out?
Yeah. Well, nah. We're taking this serious to the next level. Hopefully we make it big.
It started just for fun because we liked it. And then we started getting more gigs, and now we see it as a profession.
Yeah. If our listeners want to hire you, if they want to find out about the single or see where you're playing, what's the best place for them to do that? I know you have a Facebook page, you have Instagram. Tell us where to go to find out more about the band.
Well, the best way to do it is just go to Instagram. Mm-hmm. It's like where we're more active on. It's, the name is La Marca Nueva. We just post like our videos there. We post stories and all that, like our studio sessions and all that stuff. And there's a phone number that you can text or call if you want to hire us.
I know you guys said this was your first interview, so I appreciate you being here today and playing. I'm sure you're going to do many more interviews coming months and years. And I wish you great success and just really thank you all for being here. Appreciate
it. Thank you for the invite. Thank you for the invite.
Thank you.
¿Qué le parece esa morra? La que anda bailando sola. Me gusta pa' mí, bella. Ella sabe que está buena, que todos están admirándola. Como baila, me acerco y le tiro todo un verbo. Tomamos tragos sin pero, solo tentación. Le dije,
that's all the time we have for this week. Listen, download, and subscribe to the Cultural Manifesto podcast at WFYI.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Cultural Manifesto is hosted and produced by me, Kyle Long. Thank you for listening.